And good afternoon, J-Mine G. And in studio with me now is Jeannie Hill. She's the Vintage Division, one of the directors in the Vintage Division. Good afternoon.
Hi, everybody.
How are you?
I'm just dandy.
How are things going down there this year?
Fabulous. We have a great area. It's going great.
It is a great area. Mm-hmm. We wanted to be down there today, but a few technical difficulties made a challenge. And so we have you here in studio. We're excited to have all the Vintage folks today on the show.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having us.
Tell us a little bit about Vintage Aircraft Division.
Well, the Vintage Aircraft Division is, of course, my favorite area because I've always been in love with antiques, anything old, anything with any history. I'm sure you'll have other people that'll be telling you about the various areas of vintage and the years and all that. I won't get into that, but anything. Right now, we park any aircraft prior to 1970. And
yeah, it's okay. Go ahead.
Anyway, I've been a director for Vintage now for several years. Next year will be my 39th year. Or so this is my 39th year. Next year will be my 40th year with Vintage as a volunteer. Anyway,
and of course, Vintage used to be called Antique Classic, and the name was changed just a couple of years ago, I guess. And in studio, joining us, H.G. Frouchy. And H.G., tell us about your role in Vintage.
Hi, Jeff. It's my role here now at EAA is as the executive director of the Vintage Aircraft Association. I've been doing that now for, believe it or not, Jeannie, it's been 8 years. And before that and, mm-hmm. and continuing since then, since 1990, I've been at EAA as the editor of Vintage Airplane Magazine. As Jeannie was explaining previously, we cover airplanes built from 1970 all the way back to 1903, and if you've got something before that, we'll be happy to judge it.
Of course, that changes every year.
Well, right? Actually, it doesn't change every year. We have three judging categories, and those three judging categories are for antique aircraft. It's any airplane built prior to September 1st of 1945, mm-hmm. and then a classic airplane was built between September 1st of 1945 through December 31st of 1955. Those two categories don't change. We have set a policy a long time ago that both the antique and classic definitions by their very nature would not change. And when we opened up the contemporary category over a decade ago, we created that category with the understanding that we could make it open-ended, but we were not going to change every year. We needed to evaluate, number one, the types of aircraft and what we could offer those owners. And also, frankly, we had to take a look at how much parking we were going to need down here. We have a finite amount of real estate to the south end of the field, which, by the way, I have to tell you, the new studio is fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
This is great.
We can actually see. Not all the way down there.
To your right, would that be on your right channel on your stereo?
That's right.
We're on AM, so we're
not. And FM.
Oh, we are FM, that's right. Yeah. Anyway, on your right speaker, would be all of the entire Vintage area. And we go from just south of Aeroshell Square all the way down to roughly North Fond du Lac. We are just, we go right now, I think we're parking in row 154.
I was going to ask, I wondered how far down, and that's of...
We go to about 160, 159. I think I own the row marker for 159.
We're pretty full down there.
Yes, and I have some numbers for you that as soon as I get the piece of paper open, that sound effect is from Jeannie. Thank you. that's good.
Jeannie was telling us before you got here that she's been in the area here as the local gal for 40-some mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to describe where our new studios are, and she says, you know, what do I look like? I was born yesterday.
Yeah, actually.
Jeannie very much is a local girl. She was...
I grew up under the approach path for 1-8, yep. So yep. I didn't have any choice but to be out here and be involved.
Used to work in the terminal.
I put myself through college working in the terminal.
Oh, wow.
I wanted to fly and go to college, and I decided, well, if I can't afford both, I'll just work at the airport there. That way I'll see the airplanes while I'm earning money for college. So that's how that worked out.
So, and then you married Dick?
I married Dick, Richard Hill, who is like the sky god, has flown everything, has done everything, and he and I have, he's flown a lot of wonderful airplanes, and we've had a lot of good experiences. We used to help run Pioneer Airport over here. In fact, Dick was the first pilot to actually fly the Ford out of the, for the museum in a commercial ride-hopping operation. Mm-hmm. And we kind of ran Pioneer there for about, I think, 18 years. We also flew with the Stinson Tri-Motor for about 13 years. So that was a really neat thing, introducing people to history and taking them for these historical flights and these very rare aircraft. We've just always done everything we can to promote the history of aviation, which is I mentioned earlier when we first got started.
Now, many of our listeners are actually not here at AirVenture. They're actually listening mm-hmm. on the web worldwide. Mm-hmm. And so for those folks who have not had the opportunity to attend AirVenture, tell us a little bit about the different divisions here and what they mean and where Vintage okay. fits into that.
Okay. Here at EA, we have a series of special interest areas. And, of course, first and foremost, the primary special interest area that started it all was home building. And home building has been the core of VA since, 1953. And as we look to the north, that would be your left channel on your FM radio, we've got our home building area, and you get to see the wide variety of innovation that folks build, everything from amphibians to light planes, and whether they're steel tube and fabric or composite construction like the Glasstar, that sort of airplane. We've got it all here in that area. Then very shortly, it became pretty clear within the EA family that a lot of different people wanted to be involved, and they wanted to bring their airplanes. So we had the folks from Warbirds, and we created the Warbirds of America, which became a division of EAA. By the way, each one of these divisions, if you will, is actually a separate corporate entity. We actually are chartered separately, and have our separate boards of directors for many of these organizations, and that rounds out the EA experience and makes it a little more self-contained, if you will, so that folks can work in their areas and basically get done what needs to be done without a lot of extra layers. So we've got Homebuilts, Warbirds of America. Then also in the mid-1960s was a movement to create the International Aerobatic Club, and that came under the loose heading, a loose banner of EAA. It was part of the general overall enthusiastic part of why people wanted to get involved in general aviation, and that was their particular niche, and they became affiliated with EAA as a division back in the mid-60s. And then Jeannie was here back in the early 70s when we came to Oshkosh.
She's over there having flashbacks.
Yeah, look at her.
I'm thinking.
Her eyes are gleaming.
Yeah, kind of flutter. Anyway, I'm going to let Jeannie tell that story because she was here, and I was not quite here yet, but...
Well, I came to work out at the airport, and they said, hey, we're going to have some kind of a fly-in out here in July, August.
This was before it moved up for Rockford.
It was moving up in 1970, I think, wasn't it?
Yeah, 1970 was the first year we were here in Oshkosh.
And I thought...
Well, I shouldn't say that. It was the first year that we consistently stayed here.
Because
we actually had a fly-in here before that.
And so, I mean, how lucky can you get? You get all these beautiful airplanes dumped in your backyard. I'm two blocks away. I mean, it is much, much better than that. So I just came out and started kicking around in the field and wound up walking up to this little old dilapidated red barn building, and it wasn't much to look at, but just started hanging around, and there were all these neat people around, and they were talking
about... This red barn.
Yeah, the Vintage, which is Vintage Headquarters Sales Building there.
In those days, it started anti-classic, right?
Correct.
Anti-classic. It was the anti-classic area, and I liked history, and I liked old things, like I said earlier, so I thought, well, this is cool, and there were all these guys talking about building these airplanes, restoring these airplanes, restoring these historical things, and so I thought, wow, this is neat. I'm going to learn some stuff down here, and I really liked the airplanes, so I hung around, and, you know, after... almost 40 years, I've actually absorbed a little, and I've tried to share everything I've absorbed, and that's what I've been doing. Somebody said, what do you do out here? I said, well, it's kind of like making a landing. You do what you got to do when you got to do it, and it's pretty much everything. We have a lot of neat activities down at Vintage. We do a fly out to Shawano every year, which is a nice activity for folks. The city of Shawano really turns out for us and gives us free breakfasts and announces when we land like we're rock stars or air show performers, and spend the morning up there and come back, and that's one of the events that Vintage sponsors. It's a nice get-together for everybody. Usually if you go once, you go again. Yeah. We have an annual dinner. We have, how I really got wrapped up in this type of thing, started Pioneer Videos, which were, my husband and I have always tried to tape any of the aviation notables, aviation greats, because we realize they're not going to be with us forever. So... we started doing a video program on our own, and when I came up here and got involved, I also I also decided, you know, they decided that they would like to have me included in that, and so we developed Pioneer Video Program, which has now gone on to be Timeless Voices, and so that's been great. I've been very fortunate to meet a lot of the, you know, early aircraft designers and barnstormers and whatnot. It's been a really, really neat experience, and I just try to pass that on. Now it's about passing the baton. Now it's about carrying on and having, getting the young people involved and you know, keeping the thing going.
Well, I've been down in Vintage since it began this year, and there are a lot of young people this year down
yes.
there.
Yes, and that's mm-hmm. one of the things that Jeannie and I and a number of the other directors have talked about, is the fact that the demographic has been aging. Our demographic is among the oldest at EAA of the various groups, and that's understandable given the interest that there is amongst those folks who like those old airplanes, because those were the airplanes they grew up with. Those you typically always love the airplane you learned to fly in, and for me, yeah, that is a Cessna 150 from 1975, but you know, everybody loves those, that particular airplane. Mm-hmm. There's always a soft spot for a Cub for many of those folks, and what's really great is seeing a lot of these younger people get really excited about the fact that a Cub is still there for them to fly. A Champ is still there for them to fly, and it's still one of the most affordable ways you can get into flying is a vintage airplane.
Well, Jaymon G in studio, Vintage. It's our Vintage Day here at AirVenture 2008.